Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dave stole that from me last week. This morning we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 2. I know it's in here somewhere. I know what's wrong. I got the Bible on the wrong side there. All right. This morning I want to look at the different people that God used to bring God into this world. It was very crucial, and a lot of players that is involved. We know that that God, an angel of God, went to Mary, just a servant girl, and told her that she was going to be with child, and said it was going to be a son of God, and to call his name Jesus. So Joseph and Mary played a very important role in bringing our Lord into this world. Last week we looked at a man named David, just a shepherd boy, that was a man after God's own heart, but he was just a young boy, didn't weigh much over 120, 130 pounds, took on Goliath. Just a shepherd boy. Today, I want to look at the shepherds that was involved with Jesus's birth. We know that it was foretold by the prophets that there was a man named Jesus that was going to come into this world. And again, in the New Testament, it just talks about Jesus is coming. But in the first century world, we read that there was a lot of people that weren't ready for his coming. Some were and some were not. So the question I have in my mind is, will I be ready? Will you be ready for his coming? And I think that's all wrapped up in the kind of heart that we have. Our heart will help prepare us for Jesus' coming back. When we look at the players, so to speak, of in the New Testament that brought Jesus onto the scene, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, the wise men, Herod, the innkeeper, these players, as we read about them, we realize that they were just plain ordinary people. And God used them. So we pray that we will be ready for Jesus' second coming. Let's look at the heart of the shepherds. We read in Scripture several places that God had a soft spot in his heart for shepherds. He even identifies himself as one. In Psalm 23 and verse 1, it says, the Lord is our shepherd. He is a good shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 11. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, he's a great shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5:4, he's the chief shepherd. And it says there that he will come again. Well, if we look back and we see that the shepherds of those days were religious outcasts. According to the Jewish standards, they were unclean. Their line of work kept them from participating in feasts and holy days. Not only were they religious outcasts, they were social outcasts too. They was always moving about, finding better pastures for their sheep. A lot of people viewed them as suspicious. They're maybe something like gypsies or carnival workers, always on the move. Many of them was even accused as being thieves. They weren't permitted to give testimony in legal proceedings. They just weren't seen as trustworthy men. But if we think for a minute here, God has an announcement that he needs to make, doesn't he? The most incredible event that is ever going to happen in human history. It's something that's going to change the course of humanity. It's going to show us the eternal destiny of all mankind. This is the birth of his Son, the Savior of our world. So he thinks about how he's going to do it. Well, I put it in my terms is he's thinking of how he's going to announce the coming of Jesus, the birth of him. Well, it goes to the shepherds. Someone that we wouldn't think about. Someone that back in those days, the religious people would never think about it. But we see that Jesus goes to the poor, to the lowly, to the outcast. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 and following, he says, "Brethren, think of this. What were you when you were called? Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish thing of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So that no one may boast before him, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast only in the Lord." What a strange way to use the shepherds to announce the Christ coming into the world. The most popular verse, the most well-known verse in the Bible is John 3:16. It says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever or whosoever believes in him, and I like the King James, the believeth, it's a continual action. We have to continually believe in Jesus. But whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what's going on in our lives, God's glory will shine down on us. There's a modern day story of a shepherd. He's looking after his sheep on a hillside next to the side of a deserted road, when suddenly a brand new Porsche screeches to a halt. The driver, dressed and wearing the most expensive jewelry you can buy, steps out of his car and asks the shepherd, "If I can tell you how many sheep you have, will you give me one of them?" The shepherd looks at the young man, and then he looks at the large flock of grazing sheep and replies, "Okay, it's a deal." The young man parks his car. He connects his laptop to his mobile, enters a website, scans the ground using his GPS, opens a database with Excel tables filled with all kinds of pivot tables, prints out a 150-page report on his high-tech mini printer. He turns to the shepherd and says, "You have exactly 1,586 sheep." Rather surprised, the shepherd says, he replies, he says, "That's correct. You can have your sheep." The young man takes an animal and puts it back in the back of his Porsche. And just as about he was to drive off, the shepherd asks him, he says, "If I can guess your profession, will you return the animal to me?" The young man answers, "Yes. Why not?" The shepherd says, "You are an IT consultant." The man says, "How did you know that?" "Very simple," the shepherd replied. "First, you came here without being called. Second, you charged me a fee to tell me something I already knew. And third, you don't understand anything about my business. Now, if you please, can I have my dog back?" That's city folk. You didn't get it? The sheepdogs, they were all hairy. You couldn't even see their head. They was long-haired and everything. And so the guy took his dog. He didn't take one of the sheep. So, let's go and read in our text here, verses 8 through 20 here. He says, "And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as they lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them." They were amazed, and they took heart in what the angel of the Lord had said to them. So let's look at the heart of these shepherds. First, I believe that they had an attentive heart. They were very dedicated to their way of life. They had, well, like this young man had over 1,500 sheep that he had to take care of. He had to find pastures for them. His job was 24/7. So we see that they were very committed to their job. They even watched their sheep by night. When God calls us to do a job, we must have a heart of faithfulness. We've got to be attentive to the task at hand. We've got to be ready to do that ministry, that job that God has placed before us. And we need to do it to the best of our ability. In Colossians chapter 3, we read that, I think verse 17, that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. So if we read these verses and we understand these verses as to what they mean, we got to be attentive to the Lord's will 24/7. We also need to know that not a one of us will be left out. We all have a job to do for God. We found out this morning in our Bible class that it was mentioned that it would be a very boring place if everybody here was a head. If we had no hands and no feet, nothing to carry us through on anything. God has given us all talents, a job that we can do, each and every one of us. We are called into this kingdom for purpose. When we heard about Jesus, when we heard about the good news of eternal life and how we could receive it, we realized that there is a purpose. I don't know about any of you, but there's been times years ago I thought there has to be more to life than just living 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. There has to be more to it than that. When we read this, we see that there is. God gave us a purpose. Second thing we see is the heart of the shepherds. They was in awe. The very attentive shepherds taking care of their flock. And we know that they didn't do these things alone. They probably had someone else to take over herding the sheep. They realized that they needed to go and see what they had been told about. An angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. We learned several weeks ago that God's glory, when we see the glory, when God's glory was shown to people, God was present during them times. And here these shepherds realized that God was there. His visible presence lit up the sky. And it scared them. Isaiah had that same response. He falls on the floor and he says, woe is me, I'm a sinful man. And I live with sinful others. Peter tells Jesus that. He says, go get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Paul on the road to Damascus when Jesus met him there. Paul couldn't see. He was blinded. But he says, who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? John, when he was on the island of Patmos, he falls on the ground and he says, with me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. There's a lot of times in our lives where things happen to us that we kind of puts us on our knees, doesn't it? Sometimes we need to be on our knees a little more often than what I should say I should be on my knees a little more often than what I am. Been several times in the past, the past couple of weeks, with Adam has been out of commission. It's like it's a hard job for me to do a lesson. I told Gene and Teresa that I was going to leave town. But if you ask that question, God, what is it you want me to do? As rough as it is, I'm doing the best I can. That's all God expects from us. Do the best that you can. If God's awesomeness doesn't bring us to our knees, then we may not be ready for His coming. The third thing we see is that the shepherds had a heart of acceptance. They accepted that message that was delivered to them, didn't they? The angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Good news of great joy. And this is going to be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and He is the Christ Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And we know that they accepted that message because a couple of verses later we see they're headed for Bethlehem. They wanted to see what this good news was about. But this message we see was not just for them. It says for all people, doesn't it? And as Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it writes there, he says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be as wool. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are heavy, weary and heavy laden, and He will give us rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, verses 1 through 4. There is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and from the law of death. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 9 through 9, or 7 and 9. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, continues to cleanse us all from all sin if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we allow the Word of God to work in us? We have to have that kind of a heart. We have to have that kind of a heart if we're ready and waiting for His return. The fourth thing we see is that the shepherds had a heart of obedience. They just didn't accept the message. They acted upon it. They hurried off. That's what the scripture says. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. When we accept Christ as our Savior, when we put Him on in baptism, that acceptance and that obedience has to make an action. It causes us to act. We need to be in a hurry when we hear that message. We need to ask Jesus, what would you want me to do? Now these shepherds, when they went to see Jesus and Mary and Joseph, they could have just pulled up a bale of straw, sat down, and marveled. But they didn't hang around, did they? Of course, I know back then they may not have had bales of straw like we have. But they could have pulled up something, couldn't they? They were managers of a message. Because we see in verse 17, when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. The story that they told had nothing to do with the angels did it. It was about this child. There's no reference there of Mary's magnificence or Joseph. They came to see the Christ child. And when they seen Him, they headed out to tell the good news. When you went down in that water and you came up out of that water, how'd you feel? You had good news to say. You had to tell someone. That's how they felt when they seen our Savior. Jesus tells us that we have to share our faith. If we share our faith, then we're ready for His second coming. Lastly, the shepherds had a heart of adoration. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, all the things that they heard, and all the things that they had been told. They just didn't wonder what they saw. They worshiped Him. Clearly evident they had a lot of adoration for that baby in the manger. When we are genuinely converted, we're going to be found praising God. Whether it be work or in play. But especially here in worship. Our Christians, or the Christians that we meet today or that are here today, we know the whole story of redemption, don't we? And those of us who know the whole story of redemption, we need to praise and glorify God for sending Christ, our Savior, into this world. So we see that the shepherds had an attentive heart. They had a heart of acceptance. They had a heart of obedience. They had a heart of evangelism and a heart of adoration. Where's your heart this morning? Is your heart where it should be? Is it one of awe? Will we stand and look and as we read the scriptures and see just what God has done on our behalf? A simple carpenter's son that came to save the world. And he can use ordinary people like us to tell that story. So if you're here this morning and you're having struggles, everybody does, but if it's something that you are struggling with that you just can't seem to conquer it, let us know. We'd love to try to help you with it. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, to be able to share the good news of that baby laying in the manger. That's a starting point, isn't it? Christ came into the world as an infant. He grew to be 30-some years old, 30 to 33 years old. When his time came, he went to that cross. And like the song says, he died for you and for me. So whatever the need is this morning, we just ask that